tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. I'm your host, Mike Blewett. I'll be here for the next 3 hours with my trusty cohorts in Corey Parson, Scott Engel, and Matt Modique. I'm filling in for Greg Sussman today, who's on a European vacation, so kudos to him. I'm sure he's traipsing around Rome right now and enjoying himself. And I appreciate the fact that you all are listening, whether you found us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app or TuneIn or iHeartRadio. Thank you. So we're going to go through a lot today. Obviously, it's a football Friday. I'm excited to be here. Corey, you got to be excited after last night's matchup.
Yeah, big time matchup last night. Good to see the week get off to a start. A lot of fantasy points scored in last night's game. So nice, exciting Thursday night football contest. Was able to knock out a couple calls. So feel good about that. Now, obviously, you have a lot of people this morning that's going to be like, oh, my God, I went against Amari Cooper. I went against Derek Carr. I've lost my matchup already. It's going to be plenty of more scorings. No reason to panic yet and start making bad decisions. So it's only game number one. We still can come back if you're down big.
Hit the over in a big way last night, Scotty.
Yeah, it was very, very exciting game. Now, Matt Modica can stop saying he hates Thursday night football for at least a week. Marshawn Lynch gave a new definition to sit last night. Corey was saying sit Marshawn Lynch, and Marshawn Lynch sat in the stands, which was very amusing. Yeah. And congratulations to our buddy Jerry Coleman as the Dodgers making the World Series. And looking forward to talking football and maybe not basketball. I've never seen so much coverage for a guy scoring 3 points as I heard about Alonzo Ball this morning.
Do you think we're going to get the congratulations, the Hall of Famer congratulations when the Yankees make the World Series like Scotty just gave to Jerry
of
Coleman?
Of course.
Yeah, we'll
right.
see.
Of course. I remember when, 2 years ago when the Mets made it, Corey gave me a hug and said, finish it off. So, if it happens, I'm happy for you guys.
I saw a guy on the train this morning wearing a Mets hat. I almost just give him a hug. Matt Modica, Scott, to Scott's point about Thursday night football, we have actually had a few good games this year. Last night, probably the most entertaining of the bunch.
Yeah, last night's game was fantastic, but next Thursday night, we get Flacco versus Cutler.
That's going to be horrific.
Let's hold off. I mean, Amari Cooper was the man, the myth, the legend last night. First receiver to 200 yards this year. I mean, he scored more points last night than he did for the first 6 weeks, and only Kareem Hunt, Special K, has more fantasy points in a week than Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt becoming just the second running back in NFL history to reach 1,000 yards in his first 7 games, 1,000 yards from scrimmage. The first was Eric Dickerson in 1983, and interesting stat I saw this morning, the Raiders are the first team in NFL history to go 7 games without an interception.
Kareem Hunt, you can't grow a Jerry curl now.
Hey, those specs, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Corey, what was your thoughts on Bigfoot last night?
That was crazy. Bigfoot, at least twice a year, it's a Bigfoot sighting.
He had a flashback.
Normally against the Dallas Cowboys, yeah. But Bigfoot did come up last night.
Jared Cook.
Bigfoot.
As Rotowar pointed out this morning, in his 9-year career, that was only his 5th 100-yard game.
Yeah, so there's a lot to go over in this game. A lot of points to be scored. I have a terrible admission to make after the break, and I will do it, and I will throw myself on the mercy of the panel. I'm Mike Blewett along with Corey, Scott, and Matt for the next 3 hours on the Roto Experts. We'll be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you want to hit us up on Twitter today, please do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. We got at the Fantasy Exec, that's Corey, at Scott E. Roto X, that's Scotty Engel, and then at Matt Modica is at CTM Baseball. And speaking of baseball, as Scott said earlier, congrats on the Dodgers, and we await Yankees Astros later tonight. Corey and I obviously have a big rooting interest, so we'll see if the Yankees can. They got past Dallas Keuchel. We'll see if they can get past JV tonight.
Yeah, you know what? Get ready to maybe hopefully a couple of weeks from now, we'll go down the Canyon of Champions together, Mike.
That would be sweet.
I've never done that.
Me neither.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's way too many people.
I went to the Mets parade in 1986, and I remember being so disappointed when I heard Dwight Gooden didn't show up. And
yeah.
Then, you know, everything
years later, you can't find out where he was at.
I was at that, too. I didn't even find out until later on. I just had a great time.
Yeah. Nobody asked
you.
Yeah. Like, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for me. Like we care about what little Matt Modica did. I'm at the parade here.
Let's put the flag down at 6:09 where the barbs are flying.
When did you go to the Buffalo Bills parade?
Oh, boy.
You better enjoy that one Super Bowl, Scott.
One more than you, not 0-4.
So, anyway, we're talking football from last night. I'll get my terrible admission out of the way. So, I have Amari Cooper in a couple of leagues. I played him in one. No problems. The other league is a very shallow league. You're only playing two wide receivers and a flex. My wide receivers were Hogan and Garcon. I used two running backs this week. It's only a one running back league. I put Lynch in and Kamara in the flex, and I had Cooper on the bench. I debated it right down to the wire, and I just thought with Marcus Peters there, Derek Carr hurt, Thursday night football, I thought there were enough the cold streak that he was on, I thought there were enough factors for me to make that decision. Obviously, it's the wrong one, and I take
Mike,
the heat
let me
completely.
Ask you, who would you put in the lineup? Who was the call? What was the close call?
I guess technically it was Lynch versus Cooper,
man,
and I don't even like Marshawn Lynch. I just thought there could be enough points in this game for him to fall in the end zone once or twice.
It's
exacerbated by the fact that he gets kicked out of the game. And, you know, if things went well for Lynch, it probably would have been a 15-point game. But Amari was putting up ones and twos. Like, I just had to try something.
I just looked at the matchup. The matchup was very tasty last night, and I kind of had the feeling that was that he would have went off. And then when you look at the Peterson side of it, I think I would have thought that Peterson would have been more worried about Crabtree because Cooper, you know, has been the guy that's been struggling. Peters being their best cover corner anyway. So
they had Peters on Cooper at the end of the game, though.
Well, yeah,
when Crabtree caught
that
touchdown.
Chiefs have been allowing a lot of fantasy points per game to the pass because kind of like the Cardinals, they're like a one defensive back type of team in terms of their coverage. I probably would have went Cooper, but I guess you can't blame you 100% because there was absolutely nothing there. Like, you know, a lot of people thought, let me bench him until I see something.
It's almost to the point where I didn't
yesterday.
Know if something was
coming.
You can't
do that with him.
That's what I said yesterday. I said, you know what? You always hear that. I'm going to put him on my bench until he does something. And that's like the most, that's even worse.
I agree with you.
You have to play the guy. Look, he's a second-round pick. And I know it's been tough. But now you're sitting there, and he scored 44 points in a PPR. You killed yourself. But here's a great stat.
But I didn't think Hogan and Garcon were bad options versus
him. No, they weren't.
They were Lynch. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. A lot of people would have told you to start Hogan and Garcon, but I couldn't. Honestly, I can't see with the Lynch call because I know where Matt's coming from. A lot of people are thinking, like I said, you know, and these guys are right. You can't think like that. Yeah, sooner they were going to get the ball to Cooper. You know, this was the pivotal week. I felt like this is the final week that you gave him a chance. If he didn't do it last night, then he goes to the bench. But obviously, you know, Amari Cooper shows who Amari Cooper can be.
I think what you said was put him on your bench until he does something. You can do that with Jamison Crowder. You can do that with Martavis Bryant. You can't do that with Amari Cooper. Because if you do that with Amari Cooper, he's going to put 44 fantasy points on your bench.
Right. And I wouldn't say that was my approach. Like, I'm just going to leave him here until.
Yeah.
I legitimately measured him against Hogan and Garcon. I thought maybe their upside was a little bit better for this week. Now, the Lynch call is a bad one. I just thought, let me try to play two running backs this week because I had been rolling three wide receivers out regularly.
Here's a really interesting tweet from yesterday before kickoff. It's at Frisco Josh, an excellent follow. He does the air yards. And he stated before the game, Kansas City has allowed the most air yards against this year and six most receiving yards against. So that you've been able to throw on the Chiefs all year. And look, I didn't think Amari Cooper was going to get 18, 19 targets. The guy had 18 receptions on the year. So they went in there with a game plan. We're getting Amari straight. We're getting him involved. And he still probably dropped like four passes.
No doubt.
That's the crazy part.
At the end of the first quarter, like even before the second touchdown, you could have been satisfied if it would have ended there. But, you know, fantasy players are silly, though, at some points. Like, you know, I'm getting texts last night. oh, I hate when he does it early and often. Oh, he won't do this the rest of the game. Like, you know, these kind of numbers don't come through four quarters. Just be happy with the final line.
Yeah, some, like he had 25 by the
fantasy,
end of the first.
Some fantasy players, like, it's never enough. You know, like, oh, he didn't score another touchdown or whatever. He come on, big, the guy had a 40-point game.
He had
don't
a big
complain.
Drop. He did have a big drop on that jump ball. He'd have caught that. That'd have been a 50-point game.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy when you look at it. And somebody did put another great stat out there. I forget who it was. That Michael Crabtree led the league in drops last year.
Which is crazy, right?
Which is crazy because Amari Cooper is always the one known as having the butterfingers, and you know, everybody like makes the joke, go back to the 80s, find some stick'em and stuff like that.
Yeah, there were a lot of drops last night, but still. Derek Carr ended up throwing for over 400 yards.
That's where I wanted to go next. Yeah. So he's 29 of 52 last night, 417, three touchdowns, over 100 quarterback rating. He obviously looked good. No worse for wear on the back, right, Scotty?
See, Tony Romo didn't think he was looking good in the first half when he was overshooting receivers, etc. But there was so much volume that he eventually got into a rhythm, and he put up the kind of numbers that you want when you draft Derek Carr. You know, it's like his receivers were making plays for him. They really were. It's a very talented receiving crew. You just got to get the ball to them and let them make the plays.
That's a good point by Scott, because in the first half, he was missing some throws that he should have been making. Look, the guy's playing with an injury, you know, something that's kind of really serious. But, you know, 52 attempts. And I will say, I think the best thing that happened to the Raiders last night was Lynch getting ejected. I think Jalen Rashard is the most talented running back on that team. And Washington is real. Look, Washington had a really nice touchdown run. And I think those two in the backfield are better than Marshawn Lynch.
That's where I was going to go next. Corey, Marshawn Lynch gets ejected last night. I would imagine he's looking at a suspension for something like that, even if it's just a game. Say the suspension comes through or it doesn't. Just say he's back in the mix.
Yeah.
When he's back in the mix, what do the Raiders do?
Now, when he's back in, well, this is a situation where I understand, you know, more like what happened and where Marshawn Lynch's head is at the moment, but you cannot put your hands on the official. That is unacceptable. It's very immature. He should be embarrassed by it. I'm quite certain that he is. But I do, when you take that situation out of it, he misses the rest of this game. I think he suspended one more game. I agree with that, Mike. But what I will say is this. Jalen Rashard needs to be owned in 12-team PPRs. He's a player that's going to be able to catch the football out of the backfield. He's running the football well. He looks better than Marshawn Lynch. DeAndre Washington not really getting that work. Jalen Rashard is a thing.
Well, he's going to catch passes out of the backfield, but the rushing numbers overall were not impressive last night. I think it was, 31 yards and 19 carries or something like that. So you got to get better for him, but he's going to get the reps. Washington will figure in there. But the funny thing about Lynch last night, though, even after all that happened, they said he left the stadium. He went to sit in the stands for the rest of the game, and then they caught him on Twitter riding the train with the fans after the game with Marcus.
Early reports are that he left the stadium.
Yeah, but that's the thing. First off, he came running off the bench. He came running off the bench. That's number one. Number two, you don't leave your team at halftime. And that's the kind of stuff that, I mean, if I was a teammate, I'd be pissed off. And, you know, going forward, if Lynch isn't going to be utilized the way he wants, I'm sure he's frustrated. He came back and stuff. But I don't know what's that. What is that going to create with this team going forward?
He does seem to be having fun with it.
You know, he does look to have fun.
Experience.
He wants to play in Oakland, but, you know, he's a... Look, I like watching Lynch play football. I'm going to be honest with you. He's definitely a character, the whole Skittles thing, you know, and all that. But, you know, this is a team that desperately needed that win. They got it. I mean, Jared Cook making that great catch down to the one, then dropping that pass, which was good because Crabtree wound up scoring, and I needed that. So
Crabtree, he goes only 3 for 24, but obviously catches the big touchdown at the end of the game. He technically caught it twice because there's an offensive pass interference. But, Scott, question for you in relation to Crabtree. Apparently there was a shoving match on the sidelines.
You
had the Lynch thing, and then it looked like it might be starting to unravel for the Raiders. Now they have this dramatic comeback win on the last play of the game. How do you feel about the Raiders going forward?
I think they continue to play like this. They're a playoff team, but not a Super Bowl contender, because I don't think the defense is good enough. And in the playoffs, how strong can that running game actually be? I think they're a good team, but and it doesn't surprise me they beat Kansas City, but I don't know in the playoffs if they're going to Kansas City, if they would beat them, or they would beat a team like Pittsburgh or even New England.
We'll come back. We'll talk about the Chiefs after this. By the way, Navarro Bowman comes in 11 tackles last night right out of the gate. We'll be back after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike, Corey, Scott, and Matt. We talked about the Raiders a little bit. We'll continue to talk about this game. We talked a little bit about their running game. Jared Cook, I guess the one guy we didn't go over. He's 6 for 107. To put a bow on Jalen Richard, as Corey was talking about earlier, 9 carries for 31 yards, but 4 catches for 45 yards. So pretty good production there if you had him in a really deep league. But going forward, I think, is really what you need to look at. The Bigfoot sighting, Jared Cook, 6 for 107. He almost caught the game-winning touchdown pass. But let's flip it over to the other side of things. Alex Smith, to those people that have been riding the Alex Smith wave, that continues to be a boon for them, Corey. 25 of 36, 342, 3 touchdowns, 127 quarterback rating. This guy's been deadly accurate.
He's getting it done. Alex Smith is absolutely, as I sound like Tony, Alex Smith is absolutely getting it done. You gotta like what you're seeing from Smith. Like I said, never really a fantasy option, but it just points back to like Matt always says, bringing Mahomes in there. You see Alex Smith does not want to lose his job, but kidding what he did when Colin Kaepernick was there. So he understands he has to be a more aggressive passer. We see him hit Tyreek Hill down the field, not checking the football down, throwing the football out of bounds like he normally does. He has dynamic playmakers like Hunt and Tyreek Hill around him. So yeah, no doubt, Alex Smith. I keep rolling him out there. I played him over Jameis this week. So I want to make sure that I got that point production in. But I only played him in the flex, which is no
Corey,
money.
Who
in that.
Thought we'd be talking about Alex Smith throwing 260-plus-yard touchdown passes in a night?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He was attacking the outside last night. Well, yeah. He wasn't even throwing over the middle that much. It's a different Alex Smith. And, you know, in a six-point passing touchdown, he's gotten over 30 points 4 times this season. That's pretty damn impressive.
He probably hadn't done that in the last 6 seasons.
Going into last night, he had more deep passing yards this year than he had all of last year. Oh, and another thing, he had now his 15 touchdowns versus 0 interceptions. Last year he had 15 touchdowns the whole year.
And it's not even just the deep passing. He's having his best year as a quarterback when you just watch him. The decision making is just so crisp. It's so crisp. The deep ball's not there. You know, the way he just, you know, constantly goes to his second and third read and knows exactly where to put it. You know, he's having a career year. This team's got to play better defense if they want to make a really, really deep playoff run, because you can't just judge whether a team's going to, you know, go deep into the playoffs just based by the quarterback and the offense. But, you know, he's doing his part.
I would say this. I've always defended Alex Smith as far as NFL quarterback play is concerned. He's a really, really athletic guy. I thought he was a good quarterback, but he's never displayed this before, and I'm happy to see it. Obviously, I own him in one league, didn't play him, but I don't want you guys to give me a hard time about that because Drew Brees is starting in place.
He was always a respectable regular season quarterback who wouldn't hurt his team, but he would never elevate them to the next level, especially in the playoffs. Now he's elevating his team to the next level, and if he carries that into a postseason and they start playing defense, they will be a scary team.
I want to see if there's going to be a Twitter scuffle today between the King and Mike Cardano. We know Mike Cardano is one of the biggest Alex Smith truthers there is.
Yeah, so, Corey, Scotty was talking earlier about Kareem Hunt. or rather about owners being greedy, fantasy owners being greedy. I bet you there's some Kareem Hunt owners that are feeling kind of greedy this morning, despite the fact that the guy cleared 120 all-purpose yards. He doesn't get in the end zone, but still, he looked solid early.
No,
he
you got to like what touches the, all throughout. You got to like the production you're getting leading the NFL in rushing. You know how Andy Reid is going to use him. Kansas City, they like to run that offense through the running back position. He looks strong, fresh, young running back, putting up 15 to 20 points in the PPR every week. I'm not going to complain about that one bit. And if you do so, you're foolish, because who's giving you this kind of production week in and week out? Not even Lev Bell.
I mean, greed is good, number one. So that's the most important thing. The one thing I guess owners are going to be like complaining about is the first 3 weeks he had 6 touchdowns. The last 4 weeks he has 0.
Look, not every player is going to blow up every week. You know, football's a game you never can tell. You can't count on touchdowns, just like victories in fantasy baseball. You can't count on wins. If your guy's going to have off week and still get you 15 points, you know how good that guy is.
Yeah. So Tyreek Hill gets back into the
I needed that from him. And
we talked about him yesterday, maybe not living up to his value thus far, but he goes 6 for 125 and obviously a long 64-yard touchdown where he was basically not covered on the play.
I think what it is with Hill, he is what we thought he was. He's a high volatile wide receiver three. He's going to have games like he had last night. He's going to have games like he had last week. It's going to be back and forth. It's all about roster construction with him. If you got him as your wide receiver one, you're probably 1-4, 2-4, something like that right now. If you got him in a spot where he's your wide receiver three, wide receiver four, and as a flex option in the PPR, then you're pretty happy with the kind of production you're getting out of him. The win league I own him in, got him out there last night in my flex spot. He comes up with 27 fantasy points. Now I'm going against a Derek Carr, Amari Cooper team. But you know what? I still got some options out there. I still got some shells in the clip, Scotty.
There you go. Go ahead, Scott. Some of the bad games haven't been that bad. You know, he's caught, you know, there's 5 for 34. There's 4 for 68, which is 10. There's 5 for 34, 5 for 77, 4 for 43. So he's not killing you. He does have 3 touchdown receptions. So, you know, there was a boom game in the opener and a boom game last night. And then, you know, 5 games of so-so play.
Yeah, he's not Antonio Brown. He's not going to see that level of catches.
He's not Deshaun Jackson either, though.
Well, I think he's much more Deshaun Jackson than he is Antonio Brown.
Antonio,
you're saying he's more consistent than Deshaun Jackson.
His quiet games will be better than Deshaun Jackson's.
I'll say this for Deshaun Jackson this year. Deshaun Jackson's been open a lot, and it's been on Jameis. Jameis missed him, especially those like first 3 weeks of the season when you go in air yards and stuff. Jameis Deshaun Winston. Jackson is there.
Earmuffs.
And then Michael Crabtree, just to turn to him real quick. I mean, this is 4 of the last 5 games. He's got a touchdown. He's got 6 touchdowns in those last 5 games. So he just consistently. And I thought that play where they called pass interference, I don't really think that was pass interference. Was if Peters didn't slip, that's what it looked worse than it was when you seen the replay.
You just brought up a thought that I had last night during the game. Did you think Amari's first touchdown was offensive pass
interference? You could have called the offensive pass. Yeah. But I watch every week. I mean, I see Antonio Brown do it consistently. All these elite wide receivers, these studs that we call, they do it every week. They push off, and they get away with it. The NFL is going to allow that to happen.
I just watched
they're
going to
have the defensive backs get away with it, too, especially like the more decorated ones. You know what was interesting, though? I saw some two fantasy analysts battling on Twitter last night about one said, actually, you know, now that Cooper's had this big game, now you sell high on him. And the other one was disagreeing with it.
No.
You
my biggest concern was obviously he went through a bad stretch, but I didn't know if Derek Carr was in any way healthy yet.
Yeah, but to Scott's point about, you know, selling high, and we were talking about, all I seen was in the first, you know, in the first quarter, the Amari Cooper buy low window was closed. Like, I'm laughing at that. First off, Amari Cooper's a second round pick. Yeah. And you hear like, oh, in leagues, if he was cut. If he was cut in the league, or if he was traded with a significantly less value than what he was worth, then you got to reconsider that league.
Yeah, that's just bad strategy.
Rather than reconsidering the league, be glad you're in it and keep taking advantage of those type of opportunities, especially if you're playing for money.
I mean, I'm an idiot that benched him in one league, and I would never have suggested anybody cuts him or trades him without a requisite value for how good of a player he is. Now that I know Carr's back isn't fully broken and that I know Cooper's okay, then we move forward. And Amari's going to be fine.
In my Dynasty League, I have Amari Cooper. You know, I bid over $40 for him in a $200 cap. And, you know, some other owner came to me last night seeing if I wanted to buy low. He wanted to buy low before the game. He said, I'll give you Baldwin straight up for Cooper. And I was like, no, we got to structure a deal where I want Kamara, I want Doug Martin, you know, something like that. Bigger deal where I'm getting a lot back in return because I'm not just going to give away Amari Cooper.
Right. So Smitty targets 10 different players last night, Corey. Travis Kelce, one of them. He targeted 5 times, 4 catches for 33 yards, but caught a very easy touchdown pass. You know, the touchdown saves you last night with Kelce. He didn't blow up, but Tyreek Hill did.
No, he didn't blow up, but you can't be too too upset about what you got from Travis Kelce. Put it like this. He's going to finish as a tight end one, right?
Yeah.
He'll be a tight end one when the week's over. Huh? So there you go.
He'll be still one of the top 3-4 tight ends. And look, that touchdown was good game planning. Navarro Bowman has been bad in pass defense all year. They isolated him on Bowman. There was a miscommunication.
He did know
touchdown.
What he's doing. Yeah. I mean, he's been on the team for 3 days, and
San Francisco's pass defense was a liability.
And was it Romo that pointed out that they gave him the helmet able to hear, which made a lot of sense. Speaking of tight ends, I'm sure he'll throw this out into the world. I'm hoping for an easy Ed Dixon weekend. I kind of need him.
hopefully none of you faced Amari Cooper or Derek Carr. I got Carr. I faced him. I benched him. I played him. I got Derek
Carr.
The full gamut. I ran the full gamut of everything. I got Kareem Hunt. I'm against Kareem Hunt. So DeMarcus Robinson is the one guy that really jumps out of this box score because he targeted 8 times last night, the most on the entire Chiefs team, along with Tyreek Hill. 5 catches for 69 yards. I just wonder, of all the guys that we've been talking about, Matt, is he the guy that's going to jump out as a complimentary piece in this offense?
I think so. I'll give a shout-out to the Orleans kid because in the preseason he was saying that the Robinson did have a shot to be that guy for the Chiefs. So, yeah, if you watch them play, I think you have to be impressed.
Yeah, Albert Wilson catches the fluky 63-yard touchdown.
That should have been an interception.
Yeah, for those of you that want to take credit away from Alex Smith, as Scotty says, they all count.
Well, you know what? Should have been an interception. It wasn't.
Right.
You know, bounced off his hand. Wilson made the play.
We'll come back. We'll put a ball on this game. We'll start talking about the rest of Week 7 after this. It's Mike, Matt, Corey, and Scott back after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
On the Roto Experts, Mike Blewett along with Scotty Engel, Matt Modica, and Corey Parson. We continue to go through this game. We'll put a bow on it in a minute. Well, you know, something we talked about before the show, and it's something we never talk about. The kicking from Harrison Butker has been unbelievable.
He's been beast mode as far as kickers go. I got him in my biggest league. He outscored Travis Kelce. I was going up against Travis Kelce in the New York Super. And Harrison Butker put up 15.9 points. He outscored Kareem Hunt, Kelce, and Michael Crabtree.
Here's a really good point about kickers. Another kicker that could save your week. People campaign so much about kickers, especially during draft season. Take them in the last round, etc. People always putting down kickers. The bad part of that narrative is that people start ignoring the trends with certain kickers, and they stick in the same names that they just know from draft day. Mm-hmm. People are still sticking Justin Tucker in there when he's not producing, and they don't realize quickly enough that guys like Jake Elliott, Harrison Butker, Steven Hauschka is all of a sudden relevant again. Matt Prater was good last year. People don't realize it. They just look at the teams that score the most points. I want Gostkowski. I want Crosby. I want Lutz. You have to pay attention. Kickers You get drafted in the last round because the results vary very much from year to year. But when the season starts, you got to keep up on the trends and know who's doing well. It's like nobody's rostering Kai Forbath. Kai Forbath is not that bad. It's like you can't just roster a name and throw him out there.
I think it's
aware of what's going on with the kickers trend-wise.
I think it's a good point because it's always a good exercise to go through your waiver wires and compare it to your team and see, like, well, where's my kicker fall? Oh, Justin Tucker's 15th. I'm just pulling numbers out. Maybe I should pick up Jake Elliott because he's the second best kicker, or Harrison Butker.
These guys can save your week. It's like,
I mean, look at Ryan Succop on Monday night. He won leagues for a lot of people. He put up almost 22.8.
He's great. He's like a free agent in a bunch of leagues. It's just like I don't need him in one league because I don't have him. I actually have a better kicker. I have Butker, but like you can say Butker and Succop. You know, it's like which one is better? But you can't just totally ignore the kicker because sometimes these guys save your weeks if a guy leaves with an injury or doesn't perform up to how many, like, people were killing a guy in my league because he traded for Jake Elliott, you know, with me, and like, of course I took it and I just picked up Butker, but like, he was at least paying attention to kicker trends.
You shouldn't be playing in the league when people trade for kickers.
You know what, though? I'm not a snob like you, Corey.
It's not about being a snob.
Step down and play with mainstream leagues.
It's not about being a snob.
If I can take advantage,
and you're sitting up here making analysis and giving analysis
because
and
people
stuff,
play in mainstream leagues
and you're playing.
You don't
because
you're a fantasy
kickers.
Snob.
I'm not a fantasy snob.
And you consider yourself too good to play with the regular people.
I play with everybody, Scott.
A lot of our listeners play in mainstream leagues.
Not be in a league.
If somebody's
going to
trade for a kicker, I've seen it in mainstream leagues. You take advantage of it. But the main point, which you're missing, is though you have to pay attention to trends with kickers and not just go to the names you made for the past. Guys like Jake Elliott, Ryan Succop, and Harrison Butker way outperforming guys like
segment.
Justin Tucker.
This is the annual kicker segment. You have any thoughts on Giorgio DeVecchio?
I'll say this once again. I am not a man of the people. I'm a man for the people.
But you know what, though? That's the dangerous thing to say, let's not talk about kicker, because you at least have to pay attention to the ones that are doing
well.
It's
not dangerous, Scott.
No, it is dangerous. You missed it. What I said was people don't pay attention to kickers, right? And they stick guys who underperform like Justin Tucker in their lineup without noticing that Ryan Succop, Harrison Butker, guys like that are performing well and can save your week at any time. People ignore the kicker, and if you ignore it, they're not going to score enough for you. So you can't totally 100% overlook it.
I think your point's made on kickers.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Trades, no trades, whatever. Your point's made. So don't ignore the kicker completely. So I wanted to get your thoughts really on the Chiefs going forward. They come in 5-0. They're the best team in the league. I thought the Steelers had a shot to take them out. They did in a tight game. Last night they lose in a tight game. They obviously went up against two other teams that are contending in the AFC or considered to be contenders before the season. I don't think the Chiefs can hang their head too much, but it's probably to Scott's point earlier about them having to fix this defense in one way or another.
It's a week-to-week league. It's a week-to-week league. 2 weeks from now, it'll be a different narrative about the Kansas City Chiefs. Later on, after Thanksgiving, it'll be a different narrative. This is going to change and shake up every single week in the NFL. That's why we do Overreaction Monday because, 5-0, the best thing smoking. Now they have a two-game losing streak. How do they handle it? And that's going to be important to that team moving forward.
I still think the Chiefs are the class one of the best teams in the NFL. Look, I put them up. They do have issues, like we said. You can throw on the Chiefs. That's been that's definitely a thing. But I would put them up against any team. I'd put them up against Patriots again. Even Pittsburgh, who pretty much has their number. They showed that stat where Alex Smith is 0-3
17-3 versus the Steelers.
And 17-3 versus everybody else. And, I mean, even Denver, I really do like this Chiefs team. Look, they lost Eric Berry. So, I mean, that's a major loss.
They would be the best team in the AFC if they had Eric Berry. I was having that conversation on Twitter. But you look at the last 2 weeks. Now, look, it could change. You're right, Matt, because the last 2 weeks, look at that play against Antonio Brown. Look at the flea flicker last night. They're getting burned on defense. If that continues, they're not making a deep playoff run. But if they look at the film and they fix those things, then it can be a real Super Bowl
Terrence Mitchell
team.
Has been getting smoked all year,
yeah,
from week one until now.
They have to fix
they
that.
Need somebody opposite of Marcus Peters
but
to
I
help
think
him.
The biggest difference in this Chiefs team, it's Alex Smith. You see him throwing this deep ball. He's a different player than he's been in the past. I'd feel a lot more comfortable with him as my quarterback. And you got a guy like Kareem Hunt. You got Tyreek Hill who can do it on special teams. You know, Kelsey's one of the best tight ends. So, I mean, offensively, they have a ton of weapons that they could do. If this kid Robinson or Albert Wilson keep improving week by week, and look, defensively is where they're going to have to fix a couple.
Sacks for the Chiefs last night. That is a team that has enough talent to have a legitimate pass rush, and they got stifled against the Steelers and now this week against the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders' offensive line has been kind of up and down. Who thought we'd be talking about weapons with the Kansas City Chiefs? That's marvelous, you know, that Matt brings
targeted
it up.
Targeted 10 guys last night.
But you know Smith what, though? Did. It's like, look, they got time to fix it. But right now, that's not a Super Bowl defense by any stretch.
But I look around, even in the NFC, the AFC, there is not one team this year where you're like, even the Patriots. I'm not confident in them. I thought they would go 19-0 this year.
Look, the NFL is wide open. I agree with you. But ultimately, in the playoffs, you gotta play defense. You have to play defense when it counts.
I still give them a real good chance if they're playing at Arrowhead.
Yeah, Corey. So no sacks last night for guys like Dee Ford, Justin Houston. The pass rush just hasn't been there. We talked for the last couple of days about their inability to kind of stop opposing offenses. But as you said, it's a week-to-week league. But do you have confidence that they get this fixed moving forward?
Oh, yeah, I got confidence they get this fixed moving forward. The head coach is Andy Reid.
He's a great coach. He really is. I think people pick on him a lot because he still struggles with clock management, and there's been some...
He had a tendency not to have his best players involved in the offense enough.
Yeah,
that's kind of been one of the knocks versus Andy Reid.
That hasn't been the case this year, though.
Right. When they ditched Jeremy Maclin, mm-hmm. I remember thinking, like, what could they possibly have in store that they would ditch Jeremy Maclin? And it hasn't hurt them at all.
Here's to the pass rush thing. I mean, the Raiders entering the season had one of the best offensive lines, we thought, coming in at least top five.
And
the Steelers' offensive line was pretty good coming in, too.
No doubt. Right?
So, I mean, look, maybe it was just matchup-based. And, look, they're going to have to move some things around. You know, certain players on the defense are not performing. But, I mean...
It's a defensive backfield more than anything, mm-hmm. but they need to get a pass rush going.
To protect that defensive backfield.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One hand washes the other as far as that's concerned. We did talk about Navarro Bowman earlier. For those of you in IDP leagues, he has 11 tackles last night coming right off the street. Gary Davenport is a guy that certainly I've done shows with, and he does a lot. You follow him on IDP Sharks on Twitter. He mentioned right before the game last night that Raiders had two linebackers inactive and Bowman was going to start. And he's like, he's a nice dice roll last night. And it worked out, despite the fact that he got smoked on that touchdown. He comes in and he could be a nice piece for them moving forward.
I found it interesting that that he was just let go. I thought the Saints wanted to trade for him and San Francisco just let him go. They were like, you know what, they didn't want to be bothered by it.
Like, I just wonder... There had to be some sort of a late-round pick situation at least put up for it, but maybe the Saints didn't want to pay the money, all that kind of stuff. And salary cap factors into play as well. So I'll tell you, over the course of the next couple of hours, we're going to keep talking about, we'll certainly touch back on this game, but we're going to turn the page over to some of the other games that we need to talk about. We got to talk about injuries and what guys have practiced and what guys haven't practiced as we move forward. Big injury news. Any big injury news that you've seen, Matt, really over the last 24 hours that gives you a lot of pause?
No. One of the things, I mean, I'll say Devontae Parker, they're saying, is feeling better. Stephon Diggs had a helmet on and was kind of, maybe did a couple of limited drills, but I'm not confident that he plays this week.
Kelvin Benjamin's banged up.
I think the Leonard Fournette thing's starting to get a little bit scary here. You know, he hasn't practiced the last 2 days. Of course, publicly say, oh, yeah, I'm going to play. Look, it's a lot of mainstream leagues. Chris Ivory is still a free agent. Go out, if you're listening to this morning, and pick him up.
We had to go back and pick him up in the league. I mean, with NFFC Hall of Famer Chris Vaccaro, we cut him with some buys, and we paid $200 to get him back.
Corey was sounding the drum yesterday about James Conner. Scotty talking about Chris Ivory this morning.
Yeah, no doubt. It's time to have these guys rostered anyway. it's that time of year. You need that. You don't want an injury to ruin your season.
Jump on the team rushing attacks as opposed to having a bunch of guys from across the league, right? So, okay, well, we'll be back after this close out the hour on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Sultry sounds of the Roto Experts. This is the spa segment.
Slowing it down. The quiet storm.
This is not the end of the love music.
There's no way to segue out of that, so I'm just going to tell you about a contest and a promotion that we have going on this year. We're partnering with DKMS. DKMS is on a mission to help fight blood cancer, so I'd like you to go to this URL, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You're going to be able to do a few things there. A, you can sign up to be in a bone marrow donor pool. B, you can make a donation. And C, you can learn a lot more about the DKMS cause and helping us fight it. So we have another partner in this, and that's Fantasy Draft. So when you go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, you're going to find a link there to Fantasy Draft and a special contest that we have set up. So you're going to be able to sign up for a free DFS contest. And if you win that weekly contest, each and every week, you're going to get put into the grand prize contest. And Scotty, the week 17 grand prize contest will result in the winner doing what?
The winner going to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Yes.
Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota, starring the Oakland Raiders and the Seattle Seahawks. I'll give you some props on this one, Scotty. I just try to pick two teams out of a hat every time I do it. So in any event, please go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Corey's laughing. A fantasy draft contest, free DFS contest to support DKMS and potentially win two tickets to the Super
Bowl. You know what would be amusing about that? Where if they, the end of the game, like Lynch gets the ball at the one-yard line.
We'll see.
Right.
They gave him the ball. I don't want to do this.
But you know what with DKMS, you know, fantasy draft.
It's fine.
And fantasy draft, like Sammy Watkins, contrarian play.
You've been saying that for a full day now. I looked it up on the Daily Roto numbers. They don't love it. So
that makes it super contrarian.
That's right. True. Yeah. It'd be below 1% owned. So, so do that. Compete with us. This is the week I'm going to win. I know I've said it like the last 5 weeks, but this is the week. I feel really good about it.
What's the closest you've gotten?
I got not close.
Okay.
I got my
7,000.
top 5,000. So yeah. I got my bad Amari Cooper call out of the way, at least in one of my leagues. So that's out of my system. We'll see how I do going forward. But in any event, go to dailyroto.com/DKMS or rotoexperts.com/DKMS and join us for the fun. So I've not been having a great year DFS-wise. Sort of like ups and downs, peaks and valleys for me. Like
I haven't even really
like
gotten into
Tariq
it that
Hill
hard
kind of
yet.
Year.
Yeah. You're a wide receiver three.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't hit home runs like Tariq Hill, though.
You will get into it that hard. You will.
Huh?
You will get into it that hard.
All right, Scott. Yeah.
Scott's going for a joke there.
No, he's to himself.
And we're on the radio, so even if you whisper it into the mic, everybody can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, yeah.
So, we're going to talk about injuries in the next hour, but we talked Leonard Fournette. Another one that I saw as I was kind of scanning through, Kelvin Benjamin is another name out there. Oh, DeMarco Murray. That's the one we were talking about, Corey.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray did not practice again yesterday. So you think you're leaning towards maybe not seeing him at all
Yeah, a veteran like Murray, you want to see him on the field by Friday, but some of the things that I'm reading coming out of Tennessee, it don't really sound like that. But even if you don't see Murray on the field on practice on Friday, he can still be out there, be a game-time decision most likely. That's what he's headed towards. But they need to sit him, let him get some rest. I'm not just saying that because I want Derrick Henry to get the shot, but it's probably the best course of action. Probably the best course of action for them as a ball club.
But it makes too much sense for them to sit him against the Browns, have the bye next week, and get healthy.
He did this, unfortunately, earlier this year, where he sat all the practices and then played on Sunday. You're right. It makes perfect sense.
Except for one long touchdown run this year, which you don't take away, he has not looked right.
Yeah. Derrick Henry would be the good call, and he's going to be cheap on DFS, too, so he'd be a nice play there. Coming back with Roto Experts after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Maddie, Scott, Corey, and myself.